everybody, and welcome to episode 1 of my new Bible study subject podcast. Today we're going to start out by reading Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and then going over some notes and ideas that I took on these chapters. Let's start off by giving thanks to God for His amazing word and the amazing ways that He's given us to share it in this day and age. I am very grateful for all the resources that I have that I wouldn't have had if I was born 100 years ago. So please take a few minutes to just sit and thank God for all that He's done. Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there is evening, and there is morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together He called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds." And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over everything that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold you, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. When no bush of the field was yet in the land, and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the ground and was watering the whole face of the ground, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is the Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Okay. I hope that you guys all listened through that and did not skip it, and have some insights to add to that, because it is important to read God's scripture, because that's where we get all of our ideas and revelations and things. Anyways, now I'm going to go to the notes that I took while reading this scripture. I have three main questions: who, what, when, where, why, but several others that branch off of who, what, when, where, and why. So first we're going to talk about who is part of the chapter, who is speaking, and who is doing. And this is going to kind of tie into the next questions: what is taking place, what is commanded, what is promised, what is denounced, what is taught. So the characters of this chapter are God, Adam, and Eve. But, as you may have noticed, God said in chapter 1, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So this, I believe, is the first indication that there is a Trinity. It's not just one, and that there are three. And that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were all together in the beginning. And I've actually heard some pretty interesting takes on this. My own take is that there are several more verses that we're probably going to encounter someday that I will allude back to this episode when I find them. But in the not the Gospels, the letters of Paul to the churches and Hebrews and all those good books that talk about how the earth was created for Jesus and through him. All things were created through him and by him, something like that. That kind of makes it sound like he did the work and the Father had the idea. So the way that I think about it is that God the Father is the one who had the idea, who had the initial thought, we should make this. And Jesus, the Son, then took his Father's thought and created everything. He did the dirty work, so to speak. And then the Holy Spirit was infused into all of it and made it good and holy. Anyways, that could be a subject to talk about another time with a more learned student of the Bible, but that's just my take on it. So we're going to talk about each of the characters' places in this story and like what's going on here. So a quick summary is found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's pretty much what's happening here. There are so many other things that we could dive into. For example, the seventh day, Genesis 2:1-3. And we could have a whole cool conversation about rest branching off of that. And I think I'm going to do that someday if this goes on for long enough and I'm able to get through the entire Bible in this way. Then I'm probably going to start doing episodes about, like, rest, and what is grace, and what is mercy, and a bunch of other things that I've discussed with people before. Anyway, so God is creating. He is making this amazing universe to show off his creativity, and suddenly he has this idea, oh, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. We should make people, guys, so that they can take care of this, and see our glory reflected in it. That's such a great idea. Why didn't I think of that before? Well, I'm sure it probably wasn't exactly like that, seeing as God sees and knows all. But for us humans, that's a pretty good way to put it. So God is creating and then has the idea, hey, we should make people. So he makes this man, and he puts this man in the Garden of Eden. And so this man is obviously probably pretty happy there. And he is put in this amazing place to work it and to keep it, to take care of the animals there. But there is one problem. Adam, that's the man, is lonely. So God says, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. And so all the animals of the field, all the livestock, every creature that exists on the earth is brought before Adam. And he names each and every one of them. And they still go by those original names today, as far as we know. But none of them are correct for him. None of them click. There's no suitable helper. So God makes Adam fall asleep. And while he's sleeping, God removes one of his ribs and then heals the wound. And I was taught when I was very young, I don't even remember where from now, because my mom and my dad both denounce this claim and say it's not true, but I'm sure other people have heard it too. I've heard that men have one less rib than women, and I only recently found out that that was not true. Adam had one rib removed. We don't know if that rib then was replaced by a new rib, or if he just was one rib short for the rest of his life. But yeah, thought that was pretty cool. So God takes this rib and he makes it into a woman. Guys, us women, we started as ribs. That was literally it. The first woman was a rib. So I feel like you could kind of make that into a metaphor of our relationship with men, but I don't really want to go into that right now. So anyways, this woman is made, and obviously Adam is thrilled with this because his joyful cry is, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And I find it interesting, this might just be my version, but I find it interesting that she's not actually named in either chapter 1 or chapter 2. So, yeah, that's just kind of interesting to me. Anyways, so those are the characters. The stage is set. Next, we're going to talk about what is happening. What's going on here? So I have a bunch of bullet points. I'm probably going to go farther into a couple of them than I am others. But first of all, obviously, God is creating the universe. That is what's happening. Next question I have is, what is commanded? And I found one command here, and then some other things that are not exactly commanded, but implied. Like, for example, he says in Genesis 2:15, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So that's not a command, but that kind of just says what the man's job and intended role is. That's what he's doing here. He's going to work it and keep it. But the command that I found was in chapter 2, verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." So that was the one thing that they had to remember. And those of you who have heard this story before, which I'm assuming is probably going to be many, will know what happens next in regard to this command. But that's sad, and this chapter is happy, so we're just going to focus on the happy right now, and next episode we can get into all the horrible things that happen next. Anyways, then next question is, what is promised? I found one outright promise here in Genesis 2:17. This is my paraphrase of it. "For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." God promised that when they eat that fruit, they will die. There is no getting around that. So next is, what is denounced? These comments that I am about to make, at least one of them, is probably going to strike a nerve with some people listening to this. I am not trying to be a radical person. I'm not trying to be I'm not homophobic, okay? That's all I'm going to say now. Don't pick a fight with me at this moment. I am not learned enough to have a good argument yet. Give me a week and I'll have one. But things that are denounced in these chapters. Eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is definitely denounced. That is a big no-no. Don't do that. Homosexuality is denounced indirectly when God makes a man and a woman to be together. Genesis 2:21 through 24. "So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, 'This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they will become one flesh.'" Notice, God created a man and a woman. He did not create two men. He did not create two women. He also did not create multiple men and women at first. He created Adam and Eve. Those were the only two. A man and a woman. So also here, I guess, polygamy is indirectly denounced. God's original intention was for marriage to be between one man and one woman. No one else fits into that. And no, yeah, whatever. Then, intimate relationships with animals are indirectly denounced when God rejects any of them as a suitable helper for Adam in Genesis 2:20. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. Okay. What is taught? There are many things that are taught here. I don't think I got all of them. But the things that I personally noticed in this reading: God alone created the heavens and the earth. He is the only one. And yes, he did it with the Trinity, but the Holy Spirit and Jesus are equally one with God. So, the Trinity is the only one. Second, everything that God created and creates is good. God only can make good. God can only bring about good. All the evil that we see around us in this world today, he did not create, but he let happen. There is a difference. Third, humanity is made in God's image. We did not evolve from fish or monkeys or whatever other crazy things the evolutionists are saying these days. But we were made intentionally by his divine plan in his divine image. And since everything that he created and creates is good, we were originally good. Our design is perfect. We are the way that he made us for a reason. And someday, if you believe in him, you'll be able to experience what his original perfect design for you was once we get to heaven. Fourth, marriage is for one man and one woman together. Not two men, not two women, not cheating on one another, but one man and one woman. Fifth, we are intended to work the land and keep it. So I've always kind of pushed aside environmentalists and people who want to save the turtles and keep the plastic out of the ocean, things like that. Of course, I don't push plastic in the ocean. That doesn't make sense. But I never really thought about it until reading Genesis recently, that we were intended to be put here to take care of the things, the animals, the plants, the world around us. We were not put here to just live our lives and not pay attention to all that. No, we are responsible for what happens here, and we need to be good stewards of what he has given us. Sixth and last, man is intended to be the leader and woman the helper and companion. In chapter 2, verse 18, then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." He did not say, "I will make him a leader." He did not say, "I will make him someone to be a boss for him." He said, "I will make him a helper fit for him." We women are intended to be man's helpers. We are not to take charge of them. They were made first, and they were made to be leaders and providers. We are the helpers and companions and supporters, and we provide all that men don't have in many senses. That's our job. Okay, next point. Where does the chapter take place? So, chapters, where do the chapters take place? So it began in a place that we know nothing about, and I've simply called it void because I don't know what existed before the universe. Nobody does except God and his angels, probably. But That is where the chapter began. Then, God creates the universe. Okay, there's a universe now. And then we kind of zero in on Earth. And that is where the story really begins. And he begins putting all these intricacies and details into Earth. And we know that that is going to be the place where this story happens. And then we focus completely on Eden and what happens there when God creates the man and the woman. So, when does the chapter take place? I just went simply with in the beginning, because that is the truth. This is a true record of the first things that ever happened. Isn't that crazy? So then, there's this puzzling question that took me a lot of time to think about, and I still don't think I answered it completely. But why is this a chapter of God's word? Was the next question. And I thought about it for a long time, and there's another question here, why did these things happen? So I answered both of them, and they kind of tie into each other. So my answers are, one, this chapter is a part of God's word so that we know how the universe was made and who made it. Second, so that we know our job here on earth, to work the ground and keep it. So that we know what relationships are right and pleasing to God, one man and one woman. So that we know that we are made in his image, that we are made intentionally, on purpose, as we are, and we don't need to try to be someone else or something else to find completeness, because we are complete in him. Fifth, these things happened to bring us knowledge and understanding of the past so that we can apply it to our present and future. And then, so that we know what happened, to be able to teach it and share it with those who aren't sure. And then, to give God a means by which to be glorified. And lastly, for reasons we could never comprehend, though we have eternity to try. So, next question, and last question, how did these things happen, and how do I live out the lesson? First, they happened because God made them happen. Through his divine workings, they took place. And I can live out the lesson by acknowledging him as creator of the universe and obeying the lessons that he inserted here. So, thank you guys so much for listening. I love doing this, and I hope that you enjoy this new change of subject. I will see you guys next episode, and just thanks again. This is so much fun, and I'm so glad to be able to do it. See you.